Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Rev and Reach from PopSpeed Digital Marketing, LLC. I'm Lori Jo Vest, and with me is Kylie Metcalf.
Hi, everybody.
So we are going to talk about social and digital strategy today. And there's a lot more to it than you might think, because as people who do social media every single day, well, maybe not on the weekends, we're deep into what it takes to really create an effective social and digital campaigns. So I want to bring something up because I think it's just awesome. Hop water. Who else has discovered hot water? Hop water. Kylie, have you discovered hop water?
It's just not my thing. I've never been like a, because it's kind of beery, right?
It's fizzy watery.
Oh, it's just like sparkling water.
Yeah, it's got no alcohol in it. It's I love it because it's at the grocery store this weekend. This was what I loved. They had the 8-packs on sale for $1.47.
Oh my God.
But then they had them on the shelf for $8.99. And we're looking in this cart going, did something happen to these? They looked fine. So I picked up like 5 or 6 of them.
Oh my God.
I think Hop Water would be an awesome sponsor for the Rev and Reach podcast, right? A little unique, a little different. If you like fizzy water, it's fizzy water with an actual flavor instead of just a scent, right? Are you a fizzy water drinker?
Not really. I don't know. I'm like, I like my lemon water and stuff like that sometimes, but I'm pretty boring with my beverages.
Oh, that's funny. I heard someone say once that the flavored fizzy waters like you get from, oh gosh, I can't even think of the brands right now. There's like 3 or 4 big brands and they're
LaCroix. That's the big one that I can think of. Yeah.
LaCroix is huge, right? That the strawberry flavor tastes like it might have spent a few hours in a room with a strawberry once.
That is exactly how I would describe my feelings towards fizzy water. 100%.
It has a scent. Well, hop water has a flavor. And it was a couple of guys, I guess, that got like had kids, got into the family life, doing their business things, and decided that they couldn't do the beer that they like to drink every night. So they took the hops and they made this fizzy water. So it's got more of a flavor than traditional fizzy water as opposed to just a scent. It's not real hoppy. It doesn't taste like beer. It just has a really unique flavor and it's got adaptogens and nootropics in it. So it's supposed to calm you down. It's got L-theanine and something else in it. But I think they would be a great sponsor for the podcast. So I thought I would bring that up today just for grins. And you never know, right? You never know. We will be looking for sponsors someday. Not right now. We're not quite ready for that yet, but we will be. So Kylie, what are you working on this week that you can talk about?
Oh my goodness. One of the big things on the docket for this week, we kind of talked about it a lot this morning. I'm getting ready for my maternity leave. So we're kind of getting all of our ducks in a row and figuring out like, you know, who's going to pick up my slack and where it needs to be picked up and stuff like that. Working on pulling some things together and getting a bit ahead. Hopefully, I mean, I know we're on the topic of strategy. Hopefully we have some more of those coming in pretty soon that we can dive into beforehand.
Oh yeah. So we're going to let Kylie go off and become a mom and hang out with her baby and then let us know what she wants to do and how she wants to come back. And that's happening in late August, predictably, but maybe who knows, right?
I know.
When it comes to babies, that could be 2 weeks early, 2 weeks late.
Yep. You know.
If the doctor tells you it's only going to be a few days, don't believe him.
Yeah.
Because that just sets you up to go another 2 weeks. That's just how that works. So don't believe him and don't get excited about it because that usually means baby's going to do what baby's going to do.
Yeah,
right?
So exactly.
That's how that works.
Just make no plans.
Yeah. So diving into strategy, we named this one the compass effect, because if you don't plan the direction that you're going, you're not going to get where you want to get, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're doing digital marketing strategy or social media strategy for clients, we are always looking to figure out what they want to accomplish, what's their end goal, where do they want to get with their digital marketing, and then we work backwards and plan the strategy to get them there. And it can take, you know, 60 to 90 days to ramp up to get real results, and we want to set expectations for that, because a lot of times things don't happen immediately. They may happen quicker than we expect, but it's always good to be a little bit patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. We usually start with KPIs and goals. So KPIs, key performance indicator, that's what's going to tell you if you're meeting your goals. So your goals are where you want to go. Your KPIs are how you're going to measure if you got there or not. So Kylie, how do we usually set those goals? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think the beginning of that process is really kind of digging deep with these new clients that we get, even if we're adjusting a strategy, the existing clients, and seeing what it is that they want out of our effort with them via digital marketing. Is it, mm-hmm. is it more leads? Obviously, you know, everybody wants increased revenue and profits. So it's just, what does it take to get there? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we'll see that that's leads. We'll see that that's follower growth. We'll see that it's community growth. We'll see it's, you know, increased email signups or donors or fundraisers or event attendees and things of that nature. So it's really never consistent across the board when we're working on two separate strategies. So I'd say that's step one is kind of deciphering what that ROI looks like for any mm-hmm. given client. And then in turn, translating that into what that looks like from a digital marketing perspective. So mm-hmm. for us, obviously the end result, I think leads is always a really good example to turn to. So what key performance indicators are, you know, something that signals we're increasing qualified leads, right? That can mm-hmm. be a lot of things. So the end goal is those leads. The indicators are potentially increased follower growth. It could be increased website clicks or form submissions, things like mm-hmm. that. So it's kind of getting into the nitty gritty of what are the signals that we can look at to indicate that we are inching towards or meeting those goals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know we had an example recently. We have a nonprofit that we work with that we do the social, the email, the blogs. They might write them, but we may edit, put them up. We may write them. I mean, it mm-hmm. kind of is a collaborative effort. And then we also do their website and their email. Mm-hmm. Wait, website, email, social, blogging. Yeah, we do all that for them. And their KPIs are very different. They can be donations because they're nonprofit, but they're also right. program participants.
Right.
The program is free, but reaching families of that have had someone die and have children and are looking for support. It's very niche. Mm-hmm. We also solicit volunteers for them. What I loved about this year is we had so many volunteers. We had more volunteers in preparation for recruiting campers. So we were able to actually expand mm-hmm. the grief camp that they have every summer because our volunteer recruitment went so well. So now we can recruit more kids. And that's always good because it furthers their mission of, you know, supporting these kids who've had someone die. Mm-hmm. But so the goals and KPIs usually come from the client. They come from the client working with us collaboratively. What is it you want to see happen? And we set that all up and that goes into the strategy document. It might evolve over time. That can change. Like we have a client right now we're working with that we had originally had a KPI of applications filled out on the mm-hmm. website. And turns out that's not a good KPI for them because it's not working. So we're moving over to a landing page and turning it into a lead gen type effort so that we can actually converse with the leads and tell them more about the program rather than expecting them to just come in cold and start filling out the application. So KPIs and goals can change. The document itself, a strategy, should be kind of a evolving, you know, thing that changes as you learn more information, as you do test and learns, as the business changes, the priorities might change. You may have new services. So it does evolve, but we want to start with, at least at this moment in time, this is what we want to accomplish and here's how we want to accomplish it. And from there, we go into research, right? Who is mm-hmm. their audience and what are they about? Where do we get that information, Kylie?
I would say we use a lot of sources to kind of collect audience information. Again, we talk at length with our clients about who their ideal candidate, prospect, customer, et cetera, is, what they look like. you know, the various demographics that they may fall into, age range, gender, you know, socioeconomic status, how highly educated they are, geographically, where they exist, and things like that, what they're interested in. So again, really collaborating with our clients to kind of get that baseline. And then we've mentioned it on Rev and Reach before. Answer the Public is a great, 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 great source to gain insights on your audience. So we'll turn to that, that platform every now and again to build up insights on prospective audiences. You know, general Google searches can be really helpful. As we all know, you know, the social media environment, digital marketing environment is constantly evolving, along with consumer behaviors. So staying up to date with studies and additional research from credible sources, like I think HubSpot and Hootsuite are two of the ones we use most often for things like this.
Sprout Social.
That's another good one. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So sources like that with any general kind of consensus that they're seeing in their studies about consumer behaviors, who is existing on which platforms in terms of demographics, and just digging in really deep with those credible sources, with our clients, kind of going backwards even occasionally and looking at the content that previously worked well for them if we're not starting from scratch, who viewed it. When did they view it? Why does it seem like they viewed it? Why does it seem valuable? Things like that. So it's kind of a mishmash of being everywhere on the internet all at once to figure out audiences. And again, as Lori said, and this is true for every stage of a strategy, it's going to constantly change. But having that initial compass, that baseline and foundation is so important to give you direction. And then it's continuous work, right? To stay up with the way that your audiences are shifting and evolving. And in a lot of cases, it's important because you may have several different niche audiences. For that nonprofit Lori mentioned that we work with that serves grieving children in the community. For them, you know, we have some content that's targeted, obviously, towards parents and families and guardians and, you know, any leader of the family unit. Whatever that looks like after the death has taken place, as well as teachers and counselors, right? Because grief follows kids to school. So it's I would say stage one of audience development is kind of figuring out how many different audience communities you're reaching, and then really diving in deep across the board on where they're living, who they are, and what they're doing.
And I would also throw in that ChatGPT can be a wonderful source for research. And I'll give you an example just to tell you a little bit about how this this type of research works. We have a client that we target automotive engineers, very niche-y, very technical information. And when we dug in to do the research for this global organization strategy, back in 2024, what we did was we went into, I think it was maybe Google or maybe ChatGPT, I'm not sure, and came up with, we found research, which was amazing, that another agency had done, but we were able to see the research, see how it was presented, determine that it was credible, and it told us, it was a survey of engineers in the automotive space about where they got their information, and social media was fourth on the list. First on the list was email marketing, you know, emails from their suppliers. Second on the list, I think, was website, you know, white papers and special and, you know, reports, research reports. And I think number three might have been YouTube. Yeah, three was YouTube, then social media. And so we were able to, you know, reprioritize and put an emphasis on YouTube, put an emphasis on website content and, you know, new research papers and things like that. And we're getting some great results this year, better than last year. So that's kind of how the research part of it works. You really want to dig in and find out who your people are. Where are they playing on the internet? You know, are they on YouTube? Are they on TikTok? Ages, they may be on TikTok, but if they're over 45, maybe I think I just read this morning that 13% of the users on TikTok are 45 and up. So if your audience is, you know, like we have the dental implant clients that have an older audience. Do we want them on TikTok? Probably not.
Yeah.
They do get some younger patients, but it's not going to become a priority channel because it's so time consuming. Mm-hmm. So you're going to look at all those variables and you're going to pull all that together. And from there, you're going to spell out your audience. Who are they? How old are they? What are their, you know, what jobs do they have? What income, you know, geographically, where are they? Believe it or not, you can reach a global audience really easily on LinkedIn. And especially if it's a B2B, it's amazing. You can really reach some great, great numbers globally with LinkedIn ads. So who is your audience? Where are they? What do they do? And spell that all out. Dig as deep as you can. Where does a 35-year-old woman with two kids spend most of her time on social media? Maybe it's Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's, you know, TikTok. Who knows? So you want to dig in and do that research. And Kylie mentioned earlier that a lot of the companies that are in the social media space are really credible. HubSpot, Sprout Social. Let's see, what was the other one?
Hootsuite is another big one. Yep.
And as you research, you'll start seeing the more credible sources, and it's really not too difficult to discern. Sign up for their email lists, things like that, so that you get the information as changes happen. You know, when you're in there doing your research, sign up for their information too. It's really, really helpful. So let's see, from there, we're going to look at what type of content moves them into action. Right, Kylie?
Yeah.
What do they need? What are they lacking? What are they asking out there on Answer the Public?
Mm-hmm.
I just did something the other day on ChatGPT, and I asked my agent, I think I just started calling him Alex, or Max. No, Max. I just started calling him Max this morning. So he's got to have a name. And I don't know why he's a guy, but he's a guy. so I asked Max yesterday, I think it was, what do automotive engineers, what type of information do they need the most? And it gave me a whole bunch of options. And I pulled all mm-hmm. those, a whole bunch of different things to look at. And I put all those together and just kind of scrolled through it. And I found one, what on this topic exists on our website, the client's website. And if it doesn't, can we create it? And it gave me this really great, very basic chart that isn't on our website anywhere that we mm-hmm. can now create and put out to engineers just entering the field.
I love
newer
that.
Automotive engineers that are, you know, maybe 35 and under, right? That need the background information. So it's really interesting how you can use the tools that are out there to figure out what your audience needs, because as part of a strategy, we'll tell you, and you know, we just constantly talk about this. If you promote constantly in your content, you will not succeed. You have mm-hmm. to provide helpful, useful, non-promotional content that builds a relationship with your audience and helps them understand that you are the expert, the specialist, the go-to. Right, Kylie? What can you add to that?
Absolutely. I think exactly what you said is spot on. There's an intentional way to go about every single type of content. Does you know, promotional marketing, kind of just very straightforward, salesy type content have its place? Yeah, every now and again, for sure. You know, you need to sell, and people understand that. But I think when you really get into your content buckets and your mix and planning the type of things that you want to focus on in your social strategy, being very A, intentional, but B, pretty focused in the fact that everything has to have a purpose. Not just leaving a bunch of space for things that are like goofy or fun and really don't serve your brand at all. You know, if something silly, goofy happens and you want to throw it on the story, sure. Why not? You know, mm-hmm. But it doesn't have a place in your strategy. It just doesn't. It serves no purpose. But like Lori said, that helpful, useful content that not only builds credibility, but exactly like Lori said, builds that connection between you and your audience, because you are mm-hmm. truly feeding them the information that's going to help them. And then by way of doing that, you're not just giving away information for free, right? You're creating that bridge, that bond between your brand and consumer, So then when, you know, whatever issue they're facing or whatever reason that they may be interested in your brand to begin with kind of comes up in their personal life, you're the mm-hmm. first person that they think of, right? Because you've already helped them once without them even asking.
Right. They used to call that top of mind awareness. And you try to do it in traditional advertising by with reach and frequency. And I think they used to say somebody has to see something 5 times before they remember it. Now mm-hmm. that's broadcast and print. On social, if you can draw them in with helpful, useful information, mm-hmm. you can keep them for a while, you know, and you can become even, you know, more connected than I think you can get with a newspaper or television commercial. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. my opinion. I've totally been around for a while, so I've seen how it all works, right? And social, one of the reasons I love it is because it allows you to create that community connection. And mm-hmm. that's harder to do with some of the more traditional media forms. So, okay, let's see what's next. We always love to do audits. Part of our strategy process is auditing the client's social media, like what have they done in the past, like you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. what worked, what didn't, and can, you know, how could we make it better? Because sometimes what they're doing is okay, but add 2 or 3 things and it becomes, you know, content that really gets results. Mm-hmm. And we want to look at competitors in the space and maybe surrounding spaces. So maybe if you're a dentist, you'd want to look at dentists in your area, but you might also want to look at like estheticians or, you know, beauty spas, things mm-hmm. like that, that are related to image that people have that maybe go to those beauty spas or have take advantage of those services are in a higher income bracket that can afford more of your higher end, more aesthetic type services. Right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what you see when you do audits. I know you do a ton of our audits, Kylie.
Yeah, I think internal audits, I truly find the most interesting because, and Lori and I talk about this at length all the time, we see so many mistakes repeated over and over again by brands that were previously doing their own social, whether that's, you know, not using channels properly in the way that they're meant to be used, or fully, you know, repetitively using the same content, or, you know, not following a brand image or building brand recognizability and, you know, so many things of that nature. It's really interesting to see, you know, in the kindest way possible, how many people are doing it wrong. And with that, it allows us the space to kind of come in and use our expertise to say, you know, at least at a very basic baseline, we are going to make a difference for this brand, right? By simply making those little teeny tiny tweaks, you're already making a difference. And then our job is to go, you know, 10 steps further beyond that and get creative, build that foundation and take everything, not just to the next level beyond, you know, not really knowing what's going on, but getting that ROI, right, that you pay us for. So I love doing internal audits because I find it so interesting to see how many common misconceptions there are about using social media as a marketing tool, right? Yeah. And then when it comes to competitive audits, I think what you said, Lori, is so spot on. And a lot of people don't do it or are a little bit hesitant about doing it when it comes to expanding the competitors that they're looking at. Exactly how you said, a dentist obviously isn't a direct competitor of an esthetician. However, that's not to say that there's not somebody out there that's in, you know, an adjacent type space that's not doing something that you couldn't emulate that's really, really working or could be just tweaked a little bit to really work for you, whether it's some sort of contest or giveaway or even just a type of content bucket that maybe if we hadn't done those audits, we wouldn't have thought of, you know?
We're not looking at competitors to copy them.
Right.
We're looking to see what are they doing that we would never want to do, and what are they doing that we can make our own?
Exactly.
That is a cool idea. And I'll give you an example. Dana-Farber Cancer Center. For 3 or 4 years ago, I had a client that we were doing a strategy for, and Dana-Farber Cancer Center, they were in that space, was one of the examples that we looked at. And their Instagram channel was so cool. It was all happy patient faces and the story of the patient. And it was just so cool to see. Like, I don't know if they still do that. It's been a long time, but it was getting really good numbers. And it was something that we were able to say, you know what, that does work. And maybe we use doctors, or maybe we do, you know, something differently. But the faces and the happy faces, and this was before the statistic came out that happy faces increase engagement exponentially compared to anything else you can do, right?
Absolutely. I think, too, to go along with that is, you know, there's so much room for, I don't want to say human error, but like human negligence in social media marketing. Because we're all just human, right? I mean, you know, you only know what you know, and your brain capacity only goes so far, right? Like you can be very creative, but that doesn't mean you're going to think of every creative idea that's ever been thought of by anybody in the whole world about a topic, right? So, you know, we've experienced, I would say, not too often, but every now and again, somebody that, you know, they love their brand. Obviously it's their baby and they're passionate about it. So they're a little bit proud when it comes to, you know, using or, kind of tweaking ideas that we maybe took from somebody that's in an adjacent industry or a direct competitor. And you know, in our opinion, there's nothing wrong with that, because if we're not looking at competitors, if we're not staying up to date with what's working for other people, we could be missing out on some really great ideas that, you know, we just didn't have. That's not to say we don't have other great ideas that we're going to throw in there. And, you know, when we put our heads together internally at PopSpeed to try to create a strategy or a plan, we come up with some pretty creative things, I would say, across the board on a regular basis. But again, that's not to say we're going to think of everything that's ever been done and worked, right? Yeah. But, you know, the dentist down the street maybe has something that's working really well for them that we could try out too, you know? So I think, you know, if you're one of those people that's a little bit hesitant and kind of views that aspect of a strategy or a competitive audit as, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, maybe like taboo or, you know, something
stealing
you're a little
from the
hesitant.
Competition.
Yeah. Like you're stealing,
copying.
Yeah. You're not, you know, it's okay to get inspiration. And, you know, we're, like Lori said, we're not saying, let's, you know, slap our brand logo on here and do the exact same thing. No, of course not. Never. But we are saying that, you know, to, you know, grow, you have to learn from others. Right. And we're not above doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's always good to, and you can also see how they're doing it, which ones are the most competitive with you. How many followers do they have? What kind of engagement do they get?
Right.
So if you, and what I love to do is go to the really big players in your space, because if you, the really big players usually have really high level, expensive marketing departments. And if you're a smaller company that can't afford that level of marketing, you can look at the big company and go, okay, look what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done the market research, you know, they have the money to have strategists. So you can look at what they're doing and see what you can do to make it your own. Because when you, even if you try to copy something exactly, hard to do. Not going to happen. You're a different company. You're a different organization with different people, different creative tactics, et cetera. So you're not copying, you're being inspired by and also looking to find out what works in your space. And that's never a bad thing.
I think it's important to touch on too, that there is a flip side to this. I would say it's a little bit less relevant when you're looking at adjacent industries, like, you know, dentist to esthetician. But if you're looking at direct competitors, regardless of your industry, you might find that they're doing some things that really, really aren't working that you maybe thought, you know, would be a good idea or could be interesting to try. And if they're, you know, if you're a restaurant and they're a, you know, similar type restaurant that's two blocks over and are doing, you know, let me think of an example, and are doing, you know,
Instagram
a Taco
wall.
Tuesday. Yeah, an Instagram wall that's just not getting any traction, but they keep posting, you know, come take a photo, you know, right by our, you know, our butterfly wings right outside the mural, you know, whatever. And nobody's doing it. Don't bother, you know, because it's a similar geographic area in a similar business. Nobody's doing it. They're probably not going to do it for you either. So it can also be, if you think that you have a great idea, a good idea to look, see if anybody else is doing it and how it's playing out for them before you kind of get into it and potentially waste your time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we beat that one to death, didn't we? I love it. We gave all kinds of information on that one. So the next step we take is the content planning. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where we're digging in. We've done the research. We know what people need. We know the information they need. For example, you know, if you're selling, and I've worked on a brand that did this, pull up potty training drawers for your little ones, you know, little diaper things that pull up like underwear and help them learn how to use the potty. You're going to want to know, what do mothers of toddlers need? You know, what do they need when it comes to potty training? What are their frustrations? And you may make the, you know, make potty training 101 one of your content buckets, mm-hmm. because you know that's what they need. Well, guess what? They need other things related to toddlers too, like how to keep a toddler busy when mm-hmm. it's raining outside and they are bored. They don't want to watch, you know, they don't want to do the tablet. They don't want to play with toys. They're bored. 10 ways to keep a toddler entertained when it's raining, right? Mm-hmm. So you can put content buckets together that not only serve your brand by giving 101 level instruction, but things that are adjacent to your brand as well. That's the helpful, useful information. And, you know, we have a law firm client. For them, they work with immigration law, family law. We provide general content, general tips and information about planning for a divorce. About, you know, how you know, can you get your families, your family members, to immigrate with, since you are a citizen, you know, how does that law, immigration law work? Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of that type of content to inform the people that might need that attorney services, right? Mm-hmm. So in their strategy is the how-tos, the 101s, the, you know, the helpful, useful information. But you may be in several different categories. You know, it may be a 101 about the organization. Mm-hmm. You may decide to do a 101 about an adjacent how-to. You're going to include one bucket, obviously, for straight promotion. Here's right. what's great about us and our product. What would be a couple other ones? I mean, it depends on the client, right?
It absolutely depends on the client. I think one that kind of has a way of working across the board are creatively doing testimonials. Whether, you know, it's those very direct branded graphics because somebody just wrote a really nice Google review about your business. Those have a time and place. Are they as strong as like a video of somebody talking about their really positive experience with your business? No. But if somebody had some really, really nice things to say in a review, that's fully written, it might be worth sharing for sure.
Yeah.
So I think client or customer led content, it's a little bit broader than just straight ahead testimonials, but whether it's, you know, patient stories or, you know, an interview with, you know, a family that enjoy, you know, we'll go back to our nonprofit, an interview with a family that had a great experience with our organization or, mm-hmm. You know, a selfie video of an influencer at your restaurant that had like the best cocktail of their life and just had to tell all of their followers about it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think like really, kind of harnessing people to, or finding those loyal customers and partnering with them, in some way, shape or form to get content like that from them is a very important one. Cause it's the most trustworthy, right? When the actual people that engage with your brand, but aren't, you know, paid to do it, want to tell their positive story, the rest of your audience members are going to be really inclined to believe it.
Proof.
I think, yeah,
we call that proof.
Yes. Proof.
Proof
Thank
that
you.
You're good at what you do.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I think too, to build off of what you were saying, Lori, is just because you have a set of content buckets doesn't mean that you're not allowed to ever stray from those, right? This is a baseline, and social media, despite the fact that strategy is so critical in really harnessing like an effective effort, I would say, it's not that rigid. You know, it's right. things, like we said, things change, trends pop up. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Agility and flexibility are just so important. So when you're building your strategy and you're putting together these content buckets, keep in mind that, you know, you want to follow it as long as you know that it's working and you want to stay true to all of this research and time that you've put in to connect with your consumer in this way. But also, that's not to say that this is where it ends, right? You can layer in anything that you see fit and follow trends when they're relevant and things like that. You're still able to have fun with it, but that fun should always have a purpose. Right. One other thing I think is really important to talk about that we see a lot of people kind of stray from, I guess, is when you're building these content buckets, they are about your consumer. They are not about you. We've talked about the story brand book, the building a story brand book before on Rev and Reach. And far too often you'll see brands that very obviously put out content to serve whatever it is that they want to say, right? When in reality, going back to Lori's example about, you know, the mom that's potty training her toddler, she's just going to scroll past your promotional ads, right? 100% she is. She's busy. She doesn't have the time. Yeah. Unless there's a coupon. Right. But exactly what Lori said, if you're putting out helpful, useful tips on potty training or even something along the lines of, you know, self-care for busy moms that are in the trenches of potty training or things like that, that are designed to serve your audience with helpful, useful information, with things that are just going to get them through the day, or how, even if it's something it's promotional, but it's how your product will help their lives improve and make their lives easier. That's mm-hmm. the way that all of this should be framed. It shouldn't be framed, you know, buy our product, we're awesome. It's here is what we can do for you, and all we want to do is make your life easier, right?
Yeah. How can you serve? I mean, it really is a service and serving mindset. So that brings me to, you mentioned the story brand. We don't want to get away from one of the most important aspects of strategy is messaging, mm-hmm. is how are you going to tell that story? How are you going to describe who your business is, and what you do, what results and benefits you get for your customers. So we want to spend some time on that, crafting that so that there's consistency and that it always, it's a consistent, easy to recall, quick to, you know, create that connection type of message. Mm-hmm. So we should do an episode on messaging, Kylie.
Yeah.
And the story brand book, because it just made such a big difference for us. And there's no excuse not to have solid, easy to understand messaging that you base your social and digital marketing efforts on, because right. that's really important to be very clear about who your organization is, who you serve, and how you help them. What mm-hmm. benefit does the consumer get from what you do? So besides that, now I know we've got, we always do hashtag research. Mm-hmm. Hashtags are in a weird place right now. Some relevant, some not. A lot of people are saying keywords are more important than hashtags now. Mm-hmm. So we will dig into that in a future episode as well. But what else do we typically wrap up with, Kylie? Or have we covered all of it?
I would say that in a general sense, that is the brunt of what goes into a strategy. I think, yeah, we always wrap them up with our hashtag research, but exactly how you said, it's who knows? Who knows?
Everything's
in the
changing.
Future, right?
Like, everything's changing.
I think just reiterating the fact, and it's something that, you know, every time we're presenting a strategy, we like to cover. That agility is important, and you want to give a strategy enough time to run its course to really, either way, whether you're starting from scratch or you're kind of reinventing, the way that you're doing your social media marketing when you team up with us, either way, things are changing, right? And
always.
building up an effort takes time. It takes your audience time to readjust. Increasing followers takes time. Getting ads up and running takes time. The whole thing does not happen overnight. We typically recommend mm-hmm. about 90 days before we reevaluate and see what's working. And at that point, it becomes very normal to look in and say, okay, maybe this content bucket wasn't as strong, or, you know, maybe gathering content to put out this type of post is too much on our business internally, and we just can't keep up with it. Things like that are gonna happen. And you need that trial run to find those things out, and then we pivot. But one thing that we see very often is people who want to stray too early from a strategy. I mean, just the best analogy is completely shooting yourself in the foot. If you don't give any level of strategy time to run its course and really, you know, work, or prove whether or not it will, it simply won't. So that's one thing I think is important to preface every single strategy session.
We run into some business owners that are, I think, kind of ADHD. Yes. And we do a strategy and we're heading down the path and they're like, veer right. No, wait, veer left. And you're like, wait, let it work.
Right.
Let it work. It's kind of like making a stew or something. You don't just pull it off the stove in half an hour. You got to let it go for 3 hours and then it's really good. Right. So you can't, you know, you shouldn't regress, you know, turn away from your strategy in 2 or 3 weeks if it's not working, because it can take longer than that to work. So that's what we've got. I'm going to wrap us up on this episode. We've been sharing all kinds of information. This is one of our longer episodes. And we'll be back soon with more helpful, useful information to help you get more ROI from your social and digital marketing efforts. If you want to know more about us, you can connect with Kylie and me on LinkedIn. We're happy to network and connect with you there. And we also have a website at popspeeddigital.com where you can learn more about us and fill out a contact form if you'd like us to get in touch. So that's what we've got for you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, everyone.